It's Power Hour, LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
Let's go. I've been trying to start this thing for 15 minutes, but who cares? We are here. This is going to be a little bit of a different live stream because I do believe this was the best Brian Kelly live, or should I say press conference, in quite some time. I'm also going to share a few things that happened at practice. Obviously, I'm not able to go to practice, but there is a riser that is starting to play better and better at a huge position of need. We also learned today that we will know who the new number 18 will be for LSU. And you see in the thumbnail, everyone, I would say probably 80% of LSU fans are predicting it being Josh Williams. So if you're watching this live, you have the poll question in your face right now. 55% of you are picking Josh Williams. So a little bit later, I'm going to tell you my deep cut pick. I think he's staring at us right in the face, and his name isn't Josh, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want to get into Brian Kelly's press conference today. I kind of want to play the whole thing, but I'm only going to play some of it. This is via our friends. I was on the phone with him for an hour earlier today, Mr. Preston Guy. Also, probably the most prominent LSU recruiting reporter in the business, which is Mike Scarborough. He's been doing it longer than anyone else. So let's hear from BK from Tiger Bay.
Many times, and you guys have heard me. You know, I think that, you know, the sum of this team will be greater than any one of its parts. I think it's going to be a unit that a lot of guys are going to be integral in its success. I mean, we're going to play five or six defensive tackles. We're going to play, you know, five defensive ends. We're going to play four or five linebackers. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be part of this. So, look, we all can pull out the Harold Perkinses and, you know, the Will Campbells and the Garrett Nussmeyers and, you know, Kyron Lacy's. But I think there's more players that are going to enter into the mix than we had last year.
Hey, Coach, over here. So I know you just talked about some of those leaders, right? Like Will, like Emery, Harold, Mason, they played as and contributed as freshmen. What have you really seen from them from a week?
So I'll stop it here. This was a question that was asked about the number 18.
It's a position that, you know, has to hold good friends accountable for things that they haven't been doing. So I think each one of them does it in their own fashion in terms of who they are. So leadership is happening quite well within this program, but different for who the individual player is. As it relates to 18, you know, I think I've pretty much made a decision on how that number is going to end up. And I think you'll probably hear something here, you know, very, very soon, if not tomorrow, within the next, you know, 48 hours.
Coach over here. Brian, you made a wholesale change with five new defensive coaches, a total different philosophy with aggressive versus last year. Can you talk about how you see the defense right now and what you expect to do with them to do better on defense this year?
Well, I think if you ask me what my philosophy is defensively, it's to keep the points down first and foremost, right? I mean, I think, you know, when you talk about the elements of defense, it starts with, you know, the players having an energy and an enthusiasm for the coaches in which they're playing for. There's got to be a sense of excitement, energy, and, you know, I thought at times, you know, we lack that, you know, and we're seeing that on a consistent basis. That's the price of just playing defense, right? That's what you have to see just to play, you know, the kind of defense that will help you win games. Now, from there, schematically, you know, I think what I've always felt from an offensive perspective, that if you don't know where guys are lined up every down, that's a good place to start. The ability to pressure on the perimeter, the ability to mix coverages so the quarterback doesn't know what he's getting every play, that is also an important piece of playing really good defense. But the core of this is getting off the field. And we had a hard time getting off the field last year. And I think Blake has done a really good job with the defenses that he's coached, in particular at Missouri, of having ways to get off the field, in particular on third down. So I think we start with the core of having a defense that's excited about playing for their coach. I think we have a defense that can play three down, four down, can mix things up in the back end of the defense, and then, get really creative in third down situations. And
so did you take away, and we'll continue with the BK press conference here in just a second, okay? Once again, I have always said this, all right? You've got to listen closely because Brian Kelly gives you a good press conference. He is a lot more specific, not too coach speaky as some other coaches are. I think that also helps that Brian Kelly understands irony, has a personality. He was playing around with or teasing a reporter at the beginning of this press conference. Did you notice what he said about playing with a lot of energy and being excited to play for your coach? Now, you rarely hear that. You hear, hey, we need to get off the field on third down. We have some good leaders. We can rotate guys in and out. But rarely do you hear him say, any coach say, well, we need our players to be excited to play for their coach. That has been the difference. That is what has been told to me from players, people that are at practice, media members, excited to play for your coach. That says a lot about Blake Baker. Okay? We shall continue. All right, so I'll address the injury report, okay? Obviously, the one that probably concerns you the most is Miles Frazier and, of course, Chris Hilton. But all four of those guys are our key players. So at the very beginning, I didn't include this. Jacques Doucet asked a really good question about climatization of the program, about dealing with hot temperatures and injuries. And Brian Kelly revealed that Matt Frates and the nutrition staff is actually participating with the NFL on a study on physiology and exercise science. So when you hear that a player is out or they are in a walking boot, understand that sometimes they are really hurt, and other times they're kind of hurt, but we're being very cautious and more so preventable of making an injury even worse. So you got to factor in with all this exercise science, they have every single player's injury history. So yes, are these players hurt? Bone bruise, that sounds not great. Yeah, it sucks. But the truth is sometimes, like Brian Kelly said, it's minor. Okay, so there you go. Oh, the video didn't play? Oh, my video didn't play. Oh, that's on me. Okay. There you go. Now, I'll go and address this for me. I got a lot of questions here. So I guess the video, let me do this again. All right. That's on me. Okay. Now, let me go back. All right. You see the video. Okay. Here we go. Basically, it was just an injury report on a few other people. Was I just standing here like looking dumb? That is so funny. That is so daggum funny. Okay. Or I might have been seeing things. I don't know.
Very conscientious. He's physically capable of playing the position. He has the ability to play that position. And I think what he's done in the offseason is he's gotten stronger, more agile, and he'll impact our defense. He's a good football player, very reliable. He's going to do his job, and he's going to be where he needs to be. And surprisingly, you know, has better athletic ability than people give him credit for.
Hey, Coach, from your point of view, how is Perkins adjusted to moving back inside?
We're having a hard time blocking him, and we've got a pretty good offensive line. I think the best thing that I could say about a player, regardless of the position in which they play, is that he has elevated the players around him. I couldn't say that about Harold his first 2 years. He did not elevate the players around him. His play was elevated, right? At times it was outstanding. He is now entering into that category of elevating the players around him. That's a pretty good thing for Tiger fans.
Coach, how close are you to sort of determining if you have a backup quarterback? How close is that competition, and have you gotten any clarity on who that might be?
I think we're making some progress there. I thought we kind of got into a lull last week where, you know, I felt like it was, you know, pretty, you know, inconsistent. I think we're starting to, maybe it's the sense of urgency that we're getting closer to the season. Look, the backup quarterback, let me just say this about that position. You know, when you know that you're playing for the number two, you have to do a great job mentally, first of all, to kind of settle yourself, because everybody wants to be the starter, you know? And I think that there was a little bit of a mental struggle in terms of getting in the right place and the mindset of, hey, I'm the number two. How do I handle myself? And I think a little bit of that was going on last week. I've seen improved play this week from, you know, both of those guys and, you know, Colin Hurley as well. I think Colin kind of came in thinking, well, I'm the number three. And now he's like, you know what? Why can't I throw my hat in the ring here too? So this week has been very competitive with Ricky, AJ, and Colin, and I kind of feel a lot better than I did at this time when the question was asked about the number two. We're not there yet, but we're making some progress, and I'm happy to report that we're seeing the kind of signs that we need from the three of those guys.
Okay. So, obviously, the second most important player on your team is the backup quarterback. I don't know. I have asked. I don't know. I would like to think I really don't know. AJ Swan actually has the most starts on this team. Obviously, Garrett Nussmeier only has one. Ricky Collins has zero. Colin Hurley, of course, has zero. Okay. So we'll see what happens there. I would pick Ricky Collins. I would, even though he doesn't have the experience, he does have the dual threat ability. LA Mom says, I can't wait to see Perk percolate. So, as far as the elevating comment, I know that's a very subjective thing, but it is true that it did help Harold Perkins out quite a bit his first year that B.J. Ojulari was on the field. But the truth is, B.J. Ojulari helped everybody. Everybody. And he had a really solid rookie season with the Cardinals, and of course he's now hurt. But the truth is, Harold Perkins is really dominating some practices. I also think Harold Perkins is going to be better with Blake Baker's coaching. I think a lot of you agree with that. Now, I want to go to the Chris Hilton injury question. And I'll go on ahead and reveal two players who are deeper cut guys that had really big practices today. One on offense, one on defense. Kyle Parker stepped in for Chris Hilton. Now, think about that. Kyle Parker stepped in over Shelton Sampson. Kyle Parker stepped in over a few other really good, talented wide receivers in this room. So, give Kyle a lot of credit, all right? Now, obviously, a lot of receivers did play, but it is something. And I still like Shelton Sampson, as many of you know. And then on defense, Sean Washington had a huge, and I mean ginormous day. The defensive tackle transfer from JUCO, originally from New Orleans, started his career at Georgia, and now we are here. Huge, huge, huge day for Sean Washington. Okay. So good stuff all around, positive stuff that deeper cut players are really pushing for more playing time. I would also like to include Kyle Parker probably played a lot more last year than you probably remember. Now, he didn't play a lot, but he did play. Played early in the Wisconsin game, played early in the Georgia State game, played early in the season some, but he wasn't really ever targeted. He was mostly used as a blocker for some screens, and it produced mixed results. Here's one thing about Kyle Parker that is very, very important. And this is a deeper, deeper cut piece of analysis that no one ever mentions in recruiting. He is younger, right? So he is a younger recruit, like Ricky Collins, who you just heard from. Ricky Collins is one of the youngest LSU football players of all time. Kyle Parker is also younger for his recruiting class. So in theory, in many ways, I understand he is a redshirt freshman and he has a year in the program, but a lot of guys at Kyle Parker's age are true freshmen probably on this roster. So it is interesting to include that, right? So he might just now be entering his true freshman year, even though he is a redshirt freshman. See what I did there? So he was younger for his recruiting class. Now, we continue here with Brian Kelly.
Coach, when it comes to Nussmeier, can you talk about his decision-making over the years, the turnovers, and how has he improved on that? And, you know, just coming off a year in which you threw, I think, what, 4 or 5 interceptions the entire year, you know, how do you approach it this year with the way he kind of plays and his style?
Like, he wasn't the starter. So, I mean, his interceptions were, you know, mop-up duty, you know, trying to get on the field, trying to make a play. He was in a whole different – it wasn't his car, as I said. I mean, he, you know, he was driving that thing fast, and he didn't care if he dented it. It's his car now, and he's really careful that he doesn't, you know, mess it up. And so there's a different mindset, kind of like what I was talking about, the number two versus the number one. He is really, really conscious of that, and he understands that he can't put the ball in the other team's hands. So I just think it's, you know, being a starter, understanding how important it is, and recognizing that taking care of the football is absolutely crucial to our success.
Hey, Brian. Mike Gundy said the other day, he told his players, don't have your agents call me for more money. We're locked in. It's time for football, anything like that. How has that been with your team in terms of dealing with, hey, getting portals closed? It's time for football. Will anything else extraneous, you'll deal with that in the offseason. How much have they bought in, and how much have you had to have those talks?
Yeah, Scott, that hasn't really been a major concern. I mean, in the offseason, you're going to have to deal with, you know, issues relative to NIL and things of that nature. But, you know, we've got, you know, a GM for that. You know, we've got a front office, if you will, for those kinds of conversations. And there's a time and place for that. It's like, you know, in the NFL, players don't want to have contract negotiations during the season. The players don't either. They want to be focused on going to school, and they want to be focused on playing football. So it's not really something that, you know, gets in the way of what they want to do right now. They don't want to be distracted by it either. So it really hasn't been anything that has been an issue or a distraction. These guys are focused on going to school and playing football for LSU, and there'll be a time and place for that. And we recognize that. And when it's time for those discussions, you know, we've got a system set up to handle those talks, and we'll be prepared. Good. All right. Thank you.
So once again, check out Tiger Bait if you want to watch the full video. And it's also on LSU Sports, okay? But I use Tiger Bait because Preston is my homie, okay? Now, let's start with the Garrett Nussmeier question. It was a really good question. I'm glad it was asked about his interceptions. Brian Kelly made a good point. If you're the backup, it's different than being the starter, okay? And Garrett Nussmeier only has one start, and he played magnificent. There has been interception issues in practice. I really just want to see if they actually happen in the games. And he is going to need to avoid doing that, in particular. In particular, in the red zone. okay, where you're taking points, theoretical points, off the board, okay? You want me to play the Coca-Cola clip? I wasn't going to, but this was kind of funny with the Lane Kiffin, because Lane Kiffin talks something about Coca-Cola being not good for you or something like that.
Just a shout out to our sponsor, Coke. You know, smart water, great Coke product, minerals, vitamins. It's just great for you. It's refreshing, healthy, and Coke provides you all the products that you need, depending on what you like. And I love smart water.
So Lane said something about Coke being bad for you, which he shouldn't have said, but obviously they do have smart water. I'm drinking some iodized 9.5 Sam's Club Maker's Mark. Sam's Club could use some business. I will say, I watched a Garrett Nussmeier interview earlier. I think it was with Mike Golic Jr. And in the interview, Garrett Nussmeier had a Powerade bottle like right in front of his face. Coca-Cola products all day. It's so good. So good. But yes, like I always say, you should listen to every Brian Kelly presser. If you listen really closely, and today was spectacular, that's why I spent so much time. I normally just get on here and do my thing, but I wanted you to hear all those big nuggets. Okay. Now, coming up in about 10 minutes, I'm going to give you my list of number 18 candidates. You can vote in the poll, but now we're going to get to your super chats and all of your questions. Okay. Dust doesn't throw incompletions. He doesn't worry about it. He catches it. Kiffin said you can get 130% of your daily sugar from one Coke. Okay. Obviously, that scares a lot of people. I'll be honest. I didn't listen to the Kiffin clip. I did see it. So I don't know if he was talking about it positively or negatively. I really don't. Okay. But I did see that he said something about it. And I understand that was a context of Brian Kelly joking about it. Okay. Let me know what you guys think about zero sodas. I drink a lot of zero sodas. Am I good? I love zero products because it still tastes the same to me. Okay. Now, Nader is worried about the Miles Frazier injury. I think he'll be okay. Okay. Take a few more questions. Jared says Perk didn't elevate anything last season. Yeah, we didn't really get much Perk, like elite games. I thought the Missouri game was really good. Okay. And I'm sorry that the video didn't play for some of you. I'm kind of shocked. I will also tell you this if you're just not tuning in. And this is honest to God what happened. I was clicking live and I couldn't get the software to go. Right? You can go back and look at the comments for yourself. Now, it was all negative. I don't believe this from Pierce. He says, I haven't had any soda or carbonated drink since 2004, 2005. That is the most blatant lie I've ever heard in my life. Richard says, playoff run, possibly. We talked yesterday more about the playoff, but yes, LSU, big time playoff. Now, Julie asked a question, and she drops a Venmo here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. About the running game, okay? And look, I'll even pull it up. I could pull it up right here. And it was asked in our private Patreon PHL Discord, okay? She says, Carter, all the LSU beat writers are talking about us being able to run the ball. I'm very hesitant to believe this because other than Jaden, we could not run the ball last year. Okay, first thing, we were able to run the football last year with Logan Diggs and some with Caleb and some with Josh. I will agree with you, though, LA Mom. We couldn't run the football last year with our running backs towards the end of the season. Now, some of that is play calling. Mike was just calling Jaden dropbacks because it was suboptimal to not do Jaden dropbacks because he was just playing so unfreaking believably good. So that was working against the running backs as well. The thing is, and this is a case with, and this is actually some good fantasy advice, free fantasy football advice. when you're dealing with a dual threat quarterback, it is hard to draft the skill position players around them, right? So when you draft Jalen Hurts, this is part of the reason why I'm not drafting Saquon Barkley. Jalen Hurts rushes for a lot of touchdowns, which in theory means less touchdowns for Saquon Barkley, right? So the same thing is true with Jaden Daniels when he was playing so unfreaking believably well. Really, the only guys that can get stats were Jaden, Malik, and Brian Thomas Jr. It makes all the statistics that much more concentrated. So LSU just abandoned a good bit of the running game last year, but I do agree. Towards the end of the season, handoffs to the running back weren't producing good results, okay? Julie also says, my thoughts on having a solid running game next year and why I think it'll be better next year, okay? Thank you so much, Julie. I really, really, really appreciate your contributions and helping grow PHO what it is today, okay? Now, yes, I do think the running game will be better because one of the most predictive stats in Bill Connolly's SP Plus metrics is offensive line returning snaps in production. He has weighted it more heavily in his production or his predictions. He is ESPN's main predictor of team strength. Now, ESPN has its own FPI, but Bill Connolly has SP Plus, and it's all, you know, fancy analytical mumbo jumbo that only diehard football fans like myself love. And you guys are a bunch of diehards, but some of you don't like all the analytics and stuff. But basically, offensive line production is huge. It's absolutely positively huge. Okay. So, you know, I truly do believe our running game will be better. But one thing that will need to improve is the sequencing. Okay. One thing that I did see on tape. Now, once again, I do a lot of film study analysis. I'm lucky that it's helped grow what we've grown here and NFL, SEC channels, all that stuff. One of the most glaring things about LSU's running game last year was it seemed like the defense was able to key in on what we were doing. So whether it was a tell or whatever the case may be, we need to do a better job of sequencing our running game, which means our play calling sequencing. Like, are we giving away that we're clearly running the football? Are we doing a good job reading our numbers in the box in the running game? So it should be a really good season. And one stat that is very misleading about this LSU offensive line is they return 4 of 5 starters. That is not true. They actually return more than that, all right? And I'll tell you why coming up right after this. And I want you to welcome a new partner here on PHL. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. Yes, sir. So, Mason Taylor is an additional offensive lineman. We're talking about PFF's number one run blocking tight end in the SEC last year. So, in theory, you're returning five of your six offensive linemen. And what LSU likes to do, I saw the Seattle Seahawks take this. LSU wasn't the originators, but this is something that they've done very effectively, is they'll motion Mason Taylor at the snap, and he'll essentially become a fullback. Okay? And it can give you numbers advantages in the box. So with that in mind, Julie, going back to your super chat, it's going to be a really good season, hopefully, for LSU running the football. I would like to think so, right? But with Joe Sloan's play calling, this is his first time being the full-time LSU play caller. We'll see how things go, okay? Now, I'm going to give you who I believe will be the number 18. I think quite a few of you believe it's going to be Josh Williams. But I'll go down a list of who I truly believe can get this jersey. Okay? Jacobian Guillory is on that list. This is a guy who's been through four different defensive line coaches in four seasons. You can say the same for Savion Jones. It could be either one of those two. What's working against both of those two is up to this point in their careers, it's been very up and down. Have they been productive? Have they played a good number of snaps? Yes, they have. Okay. So there you go. Could it be Major Burns? Fantastic says number 18 should not be worn by a transfer. All right. He said, I loved Wingo and how he played, but if you didn't come to LSU out the gate, you don't quite fit what number 18 means. Well, Wingo wasn't recruited by LSU. So, you know, and he won like very, like every single offseason workout award you could possibly win, he won it. So I think Wingo was a fine pick, but I get your thought process. LSU Tiger through and through. Okay. I could see Major Burns or Sage Ryan get it as well. I could see it. All right. It obviously won't be Greg Penn because he's wearing number 3 for Greg Brooks. And that's pretty much it on who I think it could be defensively. Now, if there's somebody else, send it to me. Braden Swinson, I don't know. You know, he's a transfer as well, only going into year two. Now we go to the offensive side of the football, where I think most are expecting number 18 to go, okay? And once again, everybody thinks it's going to be Josh Williams, and he is the perfect number 18, okay? I agree. Former walk-on, worked his tail off, also a national champion. You also believe John Emery. Let's go to Jason, who's right down the road from me. Williams, Guillory, Burns, Jones, Zy Alexander are his picks. Okay. Here is who I think is going to get it. Yeah, they're announcing in the next 48 hours, according to Brian Kelly. Emory Jones. I think they'll give it to Emory Jones. All right. Emory Jones or Garrett Dellinger, and it kind of makes sense, right? The good thing about giving them those jersey numbers is their production is a little bit more fixed, right? Like, you know that they are going to play well, and you know they are going to play, right? At running back, it can get very volatile. Defensive end, it can get very volatile, especially in a room that deep, all right? So, Emory Jones, would be like Will Campbell, and it would be cool to have two bookend offensive tackles with a badge, right? Obviously, Will Campbell has a badge for number 7. Emory Jones has a badge for number 18. He would be the second offensive lineman to get number 18 as Lloyd Cushenberry got it on the 2019 LSU roster. And Emory Jones obviously fits the mold of a guy who came in and has started all 3 seasons. I think there are more of you when it comes to the number 18. You prefer to be worn by someone who is very, very, very good. Okay. So you've seen in the past when number 18 is given to a running back, you've seen a few running backs, you know, kind of fall out of favor on the team when it comes to actual playing time. Chris Curry got number 18 and Richard Murphy got number 18. And neither really played all that much when they got the number. Obviously, Jacob Hester played a lot and so on and so on. So, I'll go that. I'll go with Emory Jones. But I think most believe it's going to be Josh Williams. Garrett Dellinger wouldn't be a bad pick either. Fantastic says, I wish Jaden would have worn 7. I disagree. I do disagree. There is a mental aspect of wearing number 7, right? Jonathan Giles didn't forget to play football, y'all. I really do believe this, and I know you guys roast me for my jersey number predictions, all right, and proclamations. I do believe there is some extra weight when you wear that single digit, because every single player on the roster wants a single digit. Every single player. Whenever one opens up and it is available, any player immediately takes it, or they take a lower digit number. They get out of it as quickly as they possibly can. Okay? Jaden has always worn number 5. I have Pee-wee photos of him wearing number 5. Okay, switching him to 7, you know, quarterback is a very mental thing. Now, would it have looked cool? Yeah, but I kind of like that Jaden made his own legacy with number 5. Something else about the number 5 is, yeah, there have been a lot of really, really solid LSU number 5s. Kerry Vincent, Keelan Williams. I know I'm, you know, missing a ton. Skylar Green, definitely in there. Okay, there's a gazillion great, great number 5s at LSU. Okay, but you know that had never really been like one of the most productive single-digit jersey numbers. Now it was worn by Darius Geis, who was incredible, but Jaden is that guy. It is his number. Okay. Now let's go to Chance. How many number 18s were not Louisiana natives? Okay. Most of them are, obviously. Makai Wingo is definitely one of the more recent ones. Josh Williams would be a non-native as well from Houston. Let's see. Christian Lacouture, I think, is from Nebraska. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's quite a few. Chason's from Texas, or played high school football in Texas. Ojolari's from Georgia. So it's really good stuff right there from Hakeem. Okay? We tied a Sherry Berry's in the chat. Okay. It's good to see her. Tell everyone, I said, tell the whole fam I said hello. Oh, there she is. What's up? Pierce says, when I learned you could pour soda on a car battery to remove corrosion, I knew it wasn't for me anymore. I freaking love it. Now, let's see. What was I? Oh, big thanks to Haley, my wife, for sharing this on Facebook. I wanted to make sure it is shared properly. Okay. Now, this was a Twitter DM from Brian. Okay, I'd much rather you just comment in the chat. That's okay. Carter, I'm glad you got it. Back up on Twitter. Yes, Elon got my $7 a month. Hopefully it's making people feel better about the Twitter.com experience. My thoughts on NFL Sunday Ticket being so expensive. And he jokingly asked, will you pay for my NFL Sunday Ticket? So it is $700 if you don't have YouTube TV. Now, if you have YouTube TV, it's only $360. I don't have YouTube TV. Okay. Will I be buying the Sunday ticket? I don't know. I don't know. I'll be doing a ton of more NFL stuff this year. It's not going to cut into PHL really at all. I might move the Thursday live stream during the season to an earlier time. I'm also contemplating bringing, and you guys need to let me know, bringing back the Monday live stream after the Brian Kelly press conference. Okay? Now, what else stood out to me today in practice? Now, once again, I wasn't there. I've already shared that the thing that I try to not get too caught up in the practice reports that are released from media members that were there that weren't. I mean, they were able to film some. I try not to get too deep into it unless it is a new player. So Kyle Parker and Sean Washington having really dominant days is something, okay? It is something. The Slinger was number five. There we go. The Slinger. I will say, man, I think, you know, he's going to be scrubbed from the history books. It's not talked about really anymore at all. And obviously there's a morality debate. We can get into a debate about everything that happened or whatever. But the real ones know how freaking good Darius Geis was. Like, the real ones know. Like, people that actually watch football, know the game, know how good freaking Darius Geis was at tackle football. He was surreal. And, you know, he was different. Like, all the great LSU backs were different. They're really, you know, Caleb Jackson really does look like Leonard Fournette. They do play very similarly. My tongue is swollen from all the medicine, and I'm hoping I'm getting better. But, you know, Jeremy Hill looked different than Leonard Fournette, and Fournette looked different than Geis. Geis certainly looked different than CEH, right? But, you know, going into this next year, I can't wait to see Caleb go ham. And a lot of people are going to make the Fournette comparisons. It's very unfair to Caleb, but I do see some powerful trucks and amazing runs this year. But, man, Darius Geis was good. Power Hour for president. I'd love to run. I am what is the prerequisite age to be president? Is it 40? Cecil Collins. That's a deep cut one, right? That was some really good stuff by Jacques Doucet as well, the Cecil Collins story. I watched a portion of it. I need to sit down and watch the full thing. Shout out to Jacques for that. Some really good original producing. Let's see. Okay. Now, I do want to warn everyone that, all right, and you do not have to feel sorry for me at all. We are doing really well going into football season. Very happy that Zion Imaging has joined PHL, okay? Love Zion Imaging, all right? He's been in our videos. He's in the PHL intro for so long. But this term is used too much. Cancel culture. Cancel culture is used too much. And you guys know, I am pro media. I am pro sports media. Anyone that starts a podcast, do it. Do it. Best of luck to you. Now, I recommend you don't quit your day job. But someone tried to cancel me this week. I swear to you. Okay. And I'm giving him the opportunity to end this. I've given him the opportunity. But it's actually not PHL. It'll all come to light. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what this guy did to me. Couldn't believe it. I don't need sympathy. I don't. I'm fine in who I am. And there are so many media squashes between like sites that never come to light, right? Like, you know, there are times like my best friend and me, Blake Ruffino, there are times where we go at it over a topic. We're going back and forth over a topic. But I feel comfortable doing that because, you know, he doesn't take it personal. And as you know, Blake is very strong in his beliefs. Okay. And I know he'll challenge me and I'll challenge him and all that stuff. Okay. But it's someone I don't really know that well. And he tried to cancel me this week. He did it the worst way possible. All right. It might not come to light because I could absolutely bury him. Absolutely bury him. And I hope this gets to him because he obviously watches every last little thing that I do. You have your shot. You have your shot to end this. I wanted to publicly say it. You have your shot. Okay? But you don't F with me, bro. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not that guy. You guys know I'm not braggadocio, big dude. It's just not who I am. You see me. I'm not that tall. I don't brag. You shouldn't have done what you did. You shouldn't have done what you did. Okay? So I'm just giving you a heads up. It might get big, might be small, might be, hey, you're making too much out of this. But, you know, I built everything that I built, and I'm going to hold it down. Okay? I'm going to hold it down. Because I think a lot of you, if I were to actually talk about this publicly, you would be mad if I never brought it up. You would be furious with me if I never brought it up. Okay? And the funny thing about it, this is the funniest thing about this. Okay? Funniest thing. Is I was going to let it go last week. Hand on the Bible. I was going to let it go. I was going to freaking let it go. You were going to think I was freaking Elsa. And the funny thing, I'm not even mad about it. Now, I'm really, really not mad about it. I thought it was laughable. Laughable. Okay? And what will happen to this guy? I don't know. I don't know. But he does watch like every last little move that I make. It's interesting. Okay. Hey, I appreciate you, Nader. And feel free to fire another one in. Jared, thank you for your super chat. Brian, it'll come out. It'll come out. Okay. Okay. I was really going to let it go. I wasn't even going to bring it up here, but I was like, man. And I had been thinking about it all day. But fantastic. It's not really hating, dude. It's not that. Like I said, I'm not mad about it. What was I perturbed? Yeah. Do I want this person's career to end or anything like that? No, I don't want that. But I do want to be clear that you don't do what he tried to do. And he tried to you know, take something away from you guys that a lot of you enjoy. Okay. I'll put it at that. All right. Now, I do want to, this was sent to me before we got live today. Okay. So you might not know who this is. This is the number one ranked flag football quarterback. He's 5'7". Okay. Listen to what this guy had to say.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Well, no duh. You play flag football. But essentially, so this guy, I don't even know his name. I saw it, and obviously he had a fleur de lis. I'm going to back you up because you're a Louisianian. You know, well, you could just tell. I'm going to back you up, man. I truly do believe that the NFL guys can't just come into to flag football and all that. But you got too much dip on your chip. Because now these flag football guys are going to be mad at him, because the NFL guys are going to be like, oh, you want to talk shit? You want to run your mouth? Let's sign up. I do think it would take NFL players about a month to really understand the intricacies of like the flag football game. That's like it with anything. It's kind of like handball. I think if NBA players quit playing basketball and train for like 5 months, they would become better than the handballers that we have now. Okay. So his name is Doucette. Best flag football player in the world. I'm going to back him up though. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe him. And Patrick Mahomes responded with the another Louisianian now, 50 Cent. He said, me? What did I have to do with this? You've been playing WNBA. WNBA is a softer market when it comes to betting. The hardest markets to win in betting is college football and the NFL. Know that before you start betting, okay? I might be doing more picks this year, so be on the lookout, okay? So Chance agrees. He says flag football is a different sport. Fantastic says, take the high road. Don't do this. I might not. And a lot of people think college football fans are dumb. Now that I'm doing more NFL stuff, there's a guy who keeps sending me, well, I'll tell you this. I did a Trey Lance video. And most of the Trey Lance comments were he's going to be QB1 this year over Dak Prescott. And people rag on college football fans for being stupid Southerners. Are you kidding me? Like, there's people out there, breathing, living organisms, Homo sapiens, warm-blooded mammals that believe this, that Trey, who's never really played Lance, is better than Dakota Rain Prescott. I mean, what the hell? Go to the video and read the comments for yourself and see if I'm joking. I have to quit comment. It pisses me off. The greatest litmus test of ball knowledge is your opinion of Dak Prescott. And I feel like Garrett Nussmeier is going to be like the same way, right? Because Garrett isn't like, I know Dak's big and he's got a big arm, whatever. You know, Garrett Nussmeier is going to throw some picks this year. And, you know, a lot of people are going to get mad. But he's still going to be insanely productive. Insanely productive. I think you're going to get some of these Jaden Daniels, you're not going to get these Jaden Daniels types of games, but your Garrett Nussmeier stat line is probably going to be, there will be a few like 360-yard, three touchdown, two interception, 70 QBR kind of games, where if you're actually watching the game, yeah, he's making some mistakes, but it's still some really, really good play mixed in there as well, okay? I've seen Jimmer play 3-on-3 a few times, and they've lost. Yes, the Cam Newton stuff. That's so funny. When Cam Newton 7-on-7, that was a 7-on-7 Cam. Cam sent it was 5-on-1, and Cam still took him. All right, so Nader super chatted. I'm also a sports nutritionist. Zero-calorie sodas are fine. They may be a marginal effect on your gut. Studies lean that way, but it's inconclusive. Eat more fiber and you're fine. Okay, so tell me, what are the best fiber sources? Okay, let me know in the comment section below. All right. Actually, Nader, since we're here, go ahead and share some, because I've actually lost some weight. One thing that I do is right after I'm done eating, I go on a walk every single time. Every single time. No questions. Tell me why. Oh, this is interesting. This is interesting. Okay. There have only been three post-2000 North Carolina basketball alums to score 10,000 NBA points. Harrison Barnes, Raymond Felton, and Marvin Williams. North Carolina, they haven't produced a great NBA player since who? Antoine Jameson? That's right. Is that right? Got to pick up Chinese. Bet Nessa won the Heisman. Okay. Nader, if you can, I do have to skedaddle. I'm trying to stay under an hour on Wednesdays. But send me some good fiber sources. I'm really trying to get better. Now, if you want to keep watching on live stream, check out Blake Ruffino's show. I think he's probably just not getting started. I think he's live right now. Go to AYS. If you want more PHL, there's plenty of practice videos. We are also putting exclusive Patreon breakdowns of practice. Go to patreon.com/LSU football. Sign up today. You get a Joe Burrow card in the mail, and you also, okay, which was really cool. You also get access to our Discord, which goes absolutely crazy during the season. Shout out to our top super chatters today, Jared, Nader, and my dear friend, Julie. It is Pow Hour LSU Boom. Tonight, we are doing ribeyes. Let's go. Let's go.